Book of Colossians chapter 2. We'll stand in just a moment. Colossians chapter 2. We'll continue our series that we've been working on, Considering Christ. And so I'm looking forward to what God has for us tonight. I did check the time from Sunday night, and it was shorter than what I anticipated. And so I have no idea what's going to happen tonight, but I'm just going to preach the text, and hopefully that'll be a help to you. So Colossians chapter 2 is where we're at. If I could get to Colossians, that'll be helpful as well. Let's actually go ahead and stand. And I want to read a few verses here. Verse 16 says this, chapter 2, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility or worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind." Seems like Paul's on a little bit of a war path here, doesn't it? He's like, there's some things that people just can't do to you anymore. But we'll get there in a minute. So verse 19. "And not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why? As though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances." I'm going to skip the parentheses for a second. "After the commandments and doctrines of men." So what were the ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using. Then to verse 23. "Which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh." We're going to stop our reading there, but the thought really continues into chapter 3, but we'll get there next week, okay? So let's all have a word of prayer, and then I want to present this idea to you tonight, this title, Intimidation or Inspiration. Intimidation or inspiration. I'll try to explain some of that as we go along. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word, and Lord, I pray that you'd help us as we study out this passage, and Lord, I pray that something I could say tonight would be a help to someone. But Lord, I pray that more importantly that you would just move in our midst tonight, and Lord, I pray that your spirit would go forth, and Lord, I pray it'd be a help. Lord, we love you and thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If you would flip back to chapter 1, I want to kind of bring us up to speed. And in the effort of doing it tonight, hopefully not have to do as much next time we're together. But Paul has been on a journey to call the Colossians to a place to where they could say, "I want to consider Christ in every situation." So Paul has been on this journey from the very beginning, and he begins with them being authenticated in the gospel. It's not that they needed to be authenticated, but he wants them to know that they're coming from the same place. The very same basic truths that they believed from the very beginning are the same things that he taught Epaphras and down the line. It's all based from this passage, though, in chapter 1, in verses 9 and 10. I want to read those. "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will." And here's a phrase that's really important even for us tonight. "In all wisdom and spiritual understanding." For what purpose? That ye may walk what? Worthy. That ye may walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering and joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers in the inheritance of the saints in light." And we're going to continue to read, okay? I know it's a bit longer, but we're in the beginning of the message here. Verse 13, "Who hath delivered us," that's important as well, he's delivered us, it's done. Amen. So I'm going to give us a little bit away, but that means you can't be judged according to how they're going to judge you. Okay, so let's go back to 13. "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him, it's all about Jesus Christ. Amen. It's all about him. And then there's one more thing that I want to read in verse 17. And he is before all things, and by him all things what? They consist. And he is the head of the what? The body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. So Paul's been on this journey, and he wants them to recall what Jesus Christ has done. He's reconciled them to God. It's not that God is reconciled to us because God's unchangeable, unmovable. But friend, if Jesus is in your life, he can change your life and reconcile you to God. And then also, not only that, but he also talked about the biblical model for ministry that he has tried to instill within his own life. And then going forward at the end of chapter 1, and he expects them to do the same, to imitate it. And not that he's imitating his own desires, but rather the desires of Christ through biblical ministry, through the church and through preaching, and through how we're supposed to minister to people. Because in verse 29, read this with me, "Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me," what? "Mightily." You know what Paul's saying? I'm not a finished product either. But if I go about considering Christ, how God wants me to, then you know what he's going to continue to do? Continue to work in my heart, what? Mightily. You know why? Because there's a lot of things that need to change in here. And I would imagine if Paul were to say that, then I think we could all say that tonight. I know I can. If you go to chapter 2, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have." He spent much conflict for their comfort. You say, what do you mean? It is comforting to know what you believe. And Paul made great effort at making sure he knew what he believed and was willing to fight for it so others can know what they believe and so he can communicate that to them. Will you say, well, sometimes I get put in uncomfortable positions. Just got to deal with it. But you know what the end result would be if we're doing it in a way that honors God? We're considering Christ in every situation. You know what the result would be? That God gets to work in my heart, what? Mightily. It's really just the modifier of the whole text is that God is working in our heart mightily. It's not done yet. It's not completed yet. Is our salvation done? Absolutely. We're already talking to believers here. I'm talking about the sanctification process that really the first two chapters hasn't dealt with a whole lot. But the next two chapters are going to deal with it almost exclusively. Okay, how that Jesus Christ is supposed to change our lives. So in light of all of that, what Christ has done for us, Paul understood as believers, it's our default, it's our natural opinion, it's our natural bent, the way that we naturally go to what? To respect the opinions of others over that of Christ. It's natural to us. You know why? Because Brother McCracken said it. It's the carnal man. It's the carnal man. The spiritual man, the spirit is willing, but the what? The flesh is weak. It's there, but it's something we have to work at. So if it's our natural inclination to give ourselves to the opinion of man instead of the Word of God and God's Spirit working in our lives, you think God's going to talk about it? Absolutely. Why? Because he wants to work in our hearts how? Mightily. Now, why do we have this natural bent to value man's opinion over God? Because it's what we know. It's what we're familiar with. It might be easier. But Pastor preached this text several years back, and I never got a date because he doesn't date any of his messages. But it's been a long time, I know that. But here's the deal. He said this in his notes, and I thought it was very helpful. He called it spiritual intimidation. Spiritual intimidation. What do you mean by that, Brother Tim? So let's go back to verse 16. "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or the Sabbath." You know what those all represent? The regions, religious ideas of the day. He touches every type of religious possibility in that verse, okay? So if it's our natural bent to let people judge us, you know what God's going to tell us to do? well, they have no right to judge you. Why? Because Jesus Christ is in you. We're supposed to be considering what Jesus Christ has to say about it. I know there's a lot of like hanging modifiers. We're going to try to pull this together, I promise, okay? So here's the deal. If we are being worked on mightily by Jesus Christ, and we're considering everything that he has for us, you know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to respect his opinion through his word and not the opinion of others. Amen. So here's the idea tonight. Here's what I believe this text is saying. We can either be intimidated by what the world says that we need to do, or we can be inspired by our relationship with Jesus Christ. We can be intimidated by what the world says that we have to do, or friend, we can be inspired by the work of God in my life mightily. Okay, let's look at it, all right? But before I do that, I want to show us like a picture of it. Can I try to help us? It'll help me if it doesn't help you. Okay, so I've asked Cade to come up here. You got your plate on? Okay, so just come sit here right by Ollie, and I'll pull you up in just a second, okay? All right, so are you intimidated or are you inspired? That's the question. We had an opportunity a couple years ago to go to Disney World and just enjoy the time with our family. And there were people on at the park that had these little stuffed animals. Okay, they were sitting on their shoulders. And it was actually something I had never seen before. And whether you care about Disney or not, I don't care. I just want you to see the illustration. Okay, just pass that with me and just go on. Okay, and so what we have to do is realize that this little animal was something that our family thought was kind of cool. Okay, and so we were going to purchase one if we could find one. And so Cole wanted to find it. And if you've ever went shopping with Cole, it's a process. He has to look at all of them. And if y'all have been to Disney World, it's a big place, okay? And so I don't mean to harp on that, but here's the deal. The idea is that he wanted to scan the whole process. And so we're on day four at this point, or three at this point, and you know, we're running out of days. And so, son, you gotta make a decision, or else we're gonna go home without one, right? And so he chooses one eventually, and here we go. They were different characters, and they were recognizable through pop culture and all these different things. But here's the deal. You know, wherever this stuffed animal, why don't you come here, we'll do it. Wherever this guy would go, okay, remember, gotta pay attention. Okay, staying right here. Okay, don't knock it off, here, run the illustration. Okay, here we go. Wherever Cade goes, you know where that stuffed animal is gonna go? It's gonna go with him. It's natural. It's stuck there. It's not going anywhere. You know why? Because until it falls off in a minute, it's a part of him. Okay? And we walked around with it, and it was falling off a little bit because we had jackets on. But think about the Old Testament law. Think about the region and how they had these mystical religious practices. Think about how that it was always with them. They couldn't escape it. It was always right here. You know, on this side of his body, he's trying to do exactly what God wants him to do. He's a believer. He believes what God wants him to do, and he's trying to do it with all his heart. But then he has this guy over here. You know what that is? The opinion of man. Over here, he has the God of heaven trying to work in his life. But over here, he just has this thing that keeps like nagging him. It won't let go. It's not something that he can get away from. Okay, thank you, buddy. You can lose the plate too. I think we're done. Just like that stuffed animal sitting on his shoulder, believers can be intimidated by the opinions of people that just won't go away. We can. Paul was concerned in the Colossians living under the oppression of the past. You know the most important word of that? The past. It's done. Remember in chapter 1? He's already delivered us. It's over. But watch how he says it. Let no man therefore judge you. Well, why? Because he's already delivered us from these areas of our lives. It's done. There's nothing that these instances in meat or in drink or in the holy days, all these different things that were at one point a shadow, we'll get there in just a second, and pointed to something awesome that was going to take place. But you know what the thing was? Is that they were so concerned about if I don't do this, or if I don't do this, or if I don't do this, they neglected doing what God wanted them to do. That was in jeopardy. So with all these things being weighed out in their mind, they had this opportunity to either be inspired by their relationship or be intimidated by what the world wanted them to do. The old ways of the Jewish law had no bearing on their relationship with Jesus Christ. We mentioned the meat and the drink. That would be a reference to what the law said they couldn't eat or what they could eat. And that was done when Peter got the sheep from heaven. Brother, I remember Brother Ben, when he brought the sheep down, that was awesome. Hopefully y'all remember some of that. But they had the guys come up here and he brought a sheep down, and it was kind of cool. Anyways, the holidays of their region, the Old Testament feasts and festivals were no longer to be observed. It was done. Why? Because Jesus Christ fulfilled them. Everything that they pointed to were fulfilled through the sacrifice and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Everything about them. The Sabbath was no longer instituted at this point. But other people who don't know Jesus Christ still observe them. That was the problem. There was this tension between, we would call, the old man and the new man. There was this tension of what the world expected of us and what Christ expects of us. But we're supposed to be considering Christ. Paul is exhorting them that these were all just shadows of what would come or what had come. Jesus had come and fulfilled the law. If you look at verse 17, it says, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. All right? So the bondage of religious freedom or the bondage of the law was gone. Why? Because Jesus fulfilled them, and now we have religious freedom. We could live in freedom under Christ. So I have another illustration that I want to show you. In my wallet, I keep this with me. I have a picture of Miss Hannah, okay? This is, I believe, her senior picture, if I remember right, okay? And so I've always kept this with me since then, like four wallets in, you know, it's okay. I'm old. I'm getting old. So this is her. So I get to go home to Miss Hannah just about every day, okay, unless she's at her parents' house. Okay, that happens. But I get to go home to her. But what if I just took this picture and like, hey, babe, how's it going? What are you doing? I'm talking to my wife. Wouldn't that be strange? I mean, she's right there. Okay, can you come here? I did tell her this was coming. She tried to do everything else, but there's only one wife, so. Okay. We can stay down here since you don't want to go up there. It's scary up there. It's a different altitude and everything. Okay, so what about this? Well, her shadow's right here. What if I said, hey, babe, you're awesome today. Supper was so good. On time. On a Wednesday night. Inside joke that she made outside. Okay. Wouldn't that be silly? Yes. Like talk to her picture or talk to a shadow of her when like she's right here. Amen. And I get to enjoy her presence. That's right. Unless supper's not on time. but no, here's the deal. That's really not a big deal. Here is the deal. Why would I want to enjoy this when I have her? That's what Paul is saying to them. You have these pictures and shadows of the real thing, and you're still stuck on the picture. When, I won't do it right now, but kiss the picture or kiss her? Right. Yeah! I'm done. I just wanted to make her face as red as possible. So, would y'all see that? We have an opportunity to be with the real thing. Not just a picture or not just a shadow, but we get to be in Christ. Amen. So you know what Paul's saying? He's saying, let no man judge you. Let no man change how you view life because of what they think about it. Are you going to be intimidated or are you going to be inspired? The Old Testament law had its place, and I don't mean to diminish that one bit. However, when Jesus came and fulfilled the law became what it had always been, was just a shadow of the holiness of God. All the law was a schoolmaster to show us that we can't attain to what God had set out for us. You know why we needed that? Because we are prideful, sinful people that have our own opinions and that will intimidate people. You know what God wanted for us instead? He wanted for us to be like in a relationship with him that would inspire the rest of our lives. You say, Brother Tim, you use inspire a lot. I am. You know what the word means? It means to, like, in the way I'm using it, it means to see something and I want to make something new because of it. I'm inspired by it. I see Jesus Christ working in my life and I want more of it. I want to be involved in it. Y'all see that now? We have the opportunity, and we do, to be intimidated, or we have the opportunity to be inspired by what? Our own relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not just someone else's relationship, but my personal relationship. Paul was concerned that not only would they be judged about it, but he was concerned that they might be tricked about it too. In verse 18, it says, "Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility or worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind." To be beguiled is to be tricked. They no doubt were seeking truth, but as we know, false teachers were always present. They were everywhere. Paul had and would continue to call them out. These teachers were teaching that angels and personal humility to the point of their destruction of their own body was the best way to please God. Paul had a real problem with this because they were removing the preeminence of Christ. You say, you do this to yourself, you do this about yourself, you fix this about yourself. What's all that about? It's all about me. But Paul's trying to tell them, well, it's all about Jesus Christ. He's supposed to be preeminent. It's all about considering him. There's a drastic difference there. It can't be both. The ministry that Paul got to be a part of and that we have an opportunity to be a part of is that we have, as God's children, a relationship with Jesus Christ. The past was dead through Christ, but they were still intimidated by the religious elites. Verse 19, "And holding not the head from which all the body by the joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together." You know what we need on our body? Our head. So Paul is using our head as an illustration of the importance of Christ in our life. And if our head's not on where it's supposed to be, you know what everything else is not going to be? It's not going to be right. The bands and the nourishment is not going to go where it's supposed to be. Our muscles aren't going to work right. Our bones aren't going to work right. And that seems very crude, but that's the one Paul gave us. If you take your head off, everything else is going to be gone. Seems like Jesus is kind of important. I mean, he is. If we don't keep Jesus preeminent and allow him to work mightily in our life, then what are we doing? What's the point? The rudiments of this world, the religious elements of this world, these systems of belief are enslaving. The systems of belief require a system of rules. They are listed as touch not, taste not, handle not, the do's and don'ts, if you will. All these things that are supposed to be already delivered from is what sometimes we can choose to live under. We choose it. Why? I believe most of the time it's because we're intimidated by the opinions of others and by what my flesh wants. I think Paul has the same idea. But we don't have to live that way. Paul asked them, if you are dead to this world and value your relationship with Jesus Christ, then why are you being subjected to these erroneous, absurd, and out-of-date religious practices. He calls them out of date, not us. He called them out of date. Why would he do that? Because it was just a picture. It's no longer a picture. It's no longer a shadow. Why? Because we have the real deal. We have Jesus Christ himself. Verse 23, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in honor, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Paul returns to this idea in chapter 1 where he started. If we have spiritual wisdom and knowledge he told us about, then we will recognize that false doctrine, these three things, worships the will of man. Every false doctrine you come across, if it's more about what I can do than about what Jesus has done, false. If it's about what Jesus has done, that's truth. But if it's about what I can do, it's false. It's selfish. What about the second one? And humility. Well, he's calling out their false humility. The things that Pastor just talked about a couple weeks ago. They would fast and then what? They would broadcast it. They would pray out loud and have huge, wonderful words that I can't even say, and just wonderful things that would come out of their mouth just to be heard of men. And what do you say? Well, you've got your reward. False humility, you got it. Well, what about the third one? And neglecting of the body. So it was common in this day that they would have harsh treatment to their own body, and in the effort to get to gain a presence with a God. Okay, they would do strange things to their body so that they might gain favor with a God and say, I did this to get Apollo's attention, or I did this to get Hermes' attention. All these different things they would go through in their own bodies to bring themselves under favor. Jesus just wants you. He wants all of you. But here's the deal. For the most part, nowadays, we're not arguing over holidays or angels or who we should worship. Is that fair? We're not, okay? Everyone has their opinion, okay? But in the general sense, we're not arguing over what holiday to celebrate. You know, just like he's talking about here. Or should we keep the Sabbath? But you know what the bigger question is? Anything we submit to outside of our relationship to Jesus Christ is a constant struggle for us. Do you know why it's a constant struggle? Because we're supposed to be considering Christ. But anything that we elevate above Christ means that Christ no longer has the preeminence. And if he has no longer the preeminence, then he can't work mightily in my heart how he desires to. And the same can be said for you. So I could say it this way. Instead of being inspired by our relationship with Jesus Christ, we're what? We're intimidated by our culture or by what's going on around us or what I want to do. There's a big difference. Amen. But you know, there's a couple things that I think were helped to me, and I'm trying to work on them as we go forward. But here's a couple things. Believers who are inspired by their relationship with Christ are sure of their doctrinal position. And that's right here. Believers who are inspired by their relationship with Jesus Christ, they are sure of their doctrinal positions. You say, Brother Tim, now come on. No, I'm really serious. If you have a thriving relationship with Jesus Christ and everything that you do is consider Christ, consider Christ, consider Christ. You know what's first? I know what I believe. Can we be taught? Absolutely. But our doctrinal positions, those things that form us, we're sure on them. They're settled in our life. The reason we can be sure in our doctrinal position is because of what Christ has done in us, what he's done for us. If that's not true, then we are what? We're all men most miserable. God, through his word, has spoken to us. He's finished his work of salvation. He has spoken on sin. He's spoken how he's going to deal with man. He's given us how we're supposed to operate the church. He knows how the end times are going to work out. All these different things, they're settled. They're done. It's like we're sure on it. You know how we can know that? A thriving, inspired relationship with Jesus Christ. James says that those who are intimidated are what? Unstable. Like a ship in the middle of the sea. It can go back and forth all over the place. But a relationship with Jesus, one that's a priority in your life, will cause you to be sure. Number two, believers who are inspired by their relationship with Christ are not intimidated by the traditions of men. You know why? Building a little bit off the previous statement, the doctrines of men are not a factor for those who seek God first because God is preeminent. It's what his word says. If someone has this weird belief about a certain thing in their life, if I can't trace it to God's word, then I'm out. It's that simple because God has spoken on it. You can check this off your box, but our Bible is what? Our baseline. It provides us a place to go from. It's our starting point. It's not something that we go away from when things get weird or strange or we don't have an answer to. No, it should be something we're already at or we go back to. Because we have what? A thriving, inspired relationship with Jesus Christ. There's no reason for us to be intimidated if we're in his word. Jesus was constantly calling out the Pharisees. He called them out over and over again. He confronted them and he wasn't scared to upset them. Why? Because he had the authority of God's word with him. There's no need for me to be confrontational because God's word is already confrontational. If we had come across in a way that's offensive to someone, that's on me. But the content of what we say, I can't handle that. That's on them. They've got to fix some things. But if what I'm saying is in the right spirit and the right way, that is between them and God. You know why? You know how I can do that? Inspired relationship with Jesus Christ. Believers, number three, who are inspired by their relationship with Jesus Christ are living in the source. They have something in them that has come out of them that produces more in them. It's a source. It's not that it's up to me. The source we talked about a couple messages back, and I know it's been several weeks since we've been there, but Jesus Christ is the source of everything we believe. Everything. If he didn't do one thing that he said he was going to do, then it's all for naught. But since we do have him, let's enjoy him and value him. Let's value our relationship with him. This world wants our time, our effort, our money, but so does God. And if he's preeminent in our life, and if he's number one, then everything else doesn't matter. Everything else doesn't matter. Friends, you have to decide today, are you going to enjoy the source of your relationship, or do you want to seek to please men? And here's something I've noticed about seeking to please men. You can please maybe a man, but you can't please men.
That's right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yep. And even pleasing a man, I'm not talking about Jesus Christ. If you're talking about trying to please Tim Alexander, you know what my opinions do? They change.
Right. Right.
My opinions change.
Yeah.
You know why? Because I have flesh. My taste buds change. Don't ask my wife that. One time I liked this meal. She can make it exactly the same, taste the same. I'm like, you know what? I don't know that I like that this time. You know why? Because I'm fleshy. Bible says earthy, right? Those who are intimidated by the world are those who have lost the value of Jesus Christ in their life. Christ is the source of all. Let's be inspired by him. One more and we'll be done. Believers who are inspired by their relationship with Christ worship God, not their selfish desires to please men. The priority we place on personal worship versus selfish desires reveal our relationship with Jesus Christ. Our personal worship. The time that you're alone in your office or in your place and you're just spending time with God. Or when it's my time, if you will, if it's always for me playing golf or playing video games with my kids, or is that my time? Or is it am I valuing my time with God first? Am I spending time worship or my selfish desires? Because we all have 24 hours in a day, don't we? Last I checked, it hasn't changed. So if we do, then we have this opportunity to be inspired with our relationship with Jesus Christ, or we can be intimidated by our selfish desires to please ourselves and not get anywhere for God. Friend, worship is a vital part of our relationship. In light of who God is, we ought to bow in awe of Him. Yet how many times are we intimidated instead of inspired? Paul saw the warning signs of this culture. He saw them, whether he heard it from Epaphras or he saw it in the believers around him at the time. But his goal was for them to consider Christ. To consider that Jesus Christ is preeminent in every area. If he is preeminent in every area, we can be inspired by that. We can allow him to work in our lives in a way that only he can. Or we can be intimidated and go ruin our lives and not accomplish what God has for us because I was intimidated by my culture, by my friends, by what I wanted to do in my life. Simple question tonight. Are you intimidated or are you inspired by your relationship with Jesus Christ? Can we stand together? Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're going to have a word of prayer and then the musicians will come. If you need to respond tonight, I challenge you to do that. Lord, I thank you for your word, and Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be inspired by our relationship with you. And Lord, I know it's something that I need to work on, and no doubt we can never accomplish it. But Lord, we know that we're supposed to work at it, so you can work mightily in our hearts. If you would work tonight, God, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Piano's going to play. 488 is you're all on the altar.
You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase and have earnestly firm.